Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
Steve.
New Life Church. This Sunday, Ethan is speaking on play and how we can worship through our play. And I get the privilege of playing all these songs. So I know that there's Kids Zone this Sunday, so I invite any of the kids. There's some musical instruments if you want to shake them. Adults, too. If you want to shake them, have tambourines, raise a joyful noise to the Lord. And as we do, let me say Psalm 100 over you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let's raise a joyful noise.
Louder than the unbelief.
my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. Savior, the curse is true. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him. Is for the Benevolent Fund, which is a fund that our deacons administer to those who are in financial need. You can give any of the ways behind me, or you can give in these boxes during the next song. Let's continue to worship together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to bear. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. Yeah.
Welcome, New Life Church. Especially if you are a guest today, here in person or online, thank you for being a part of the fellowship today. We are Carly and Esther, and we have been your summer interns here at New Life this summer. Our jobs here are coming to an end, but a big part of our summer was organizing and running Superhero Park Days.
For those of you who don't know, Superhero Park Days were an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors and connect with our Dallaire community. Myself and Carly had the pleasure of planning and organizing it, but we also got to be a part of meeting the kids, chatting with parents, and just having a really good time. Some of our highlights from Park Days this year include, but aren't limited to, welcoming over 80 community kids to Dallaire Park and getting to know them and their families. This wasn't including our New Life families that came out, and part of our highlight was just getting to see our New Life community interacting with just the Dallaire community and getting to know people. We loved seeing familiar faces return each day, and even some families came for the July weeks and then came again in August, which was really fun to see. It was so encouraging to see the kids excited each day as they ran up the sidewalk to our station and just were so excited to see us. One little girl came every day with knowing exactly what animal she wanted face painted on her face. And when she left at the end of the day, she already decided what she was getting the following day. It was such a blessing to be a part of such an awesome ministry this summer, and we can't wait to see how God uses these relationships that were built and the seeds that were planted.
Now on to our announcements. The staff here at New Life has had some changes. Sean Young is a new addition and a new pastor of life groups and young adults. We introduced him in a recent encourager, and he began working here this past week. He will be commissioned Sunday, September 11th. He is sitting right over there. So please feel free to introduce yourself to him and his wife, Ashley, and their little boy, Kairos. We are also happy to welcome Marg Kostelik on staff to serve as preschool ministry director from ages 0 to 5, nursery and little lights. Marg is a member here at New Life, along with her family. She has had her kids in children's ministry here, so we are so glad to have her leading this ministry.
With all of our staffing positions in place, we're getting excited for another ministry year and for the startup of ministry programs. We want you to join in on the excitement and to help serve in these ministries, and honestly, we can't really make them happen without you guys. So if you have a heart for children's ministry or you want to be a part of a serving team, please reach out to myself, either in person or by email. We're still looking to fill spots in nursery, Little Lights, and in Kids Church.
Speaking of ministry startup, there are some awesome programs for you to get involved in if you are in grades 3 to 12. For grades 3 to 7, we have GEMS and Cadets, our two ministries that alternate every other Tuesday, starting in October. We have some awesome events planned for this year, including our famous year-end camp. The registration date for this is September 1st, and you can find that on newlifecrc.ca/events. And if you are in grade 8 through 12, come out to Switch Life. It's our youth ministry that happens every Thursday starting this September. The big kickoff event is a retreat with youth from other churches. Reactivate is happening the weekend of September 9th through 11th. And for more details on that and to register, head over to, again, newlifecrc.ca/events.
In all of these ministries, and including being here today, we value community here at New Life Church. We really want to get to know you if you are a guest here, and we invite you to fill out a Connect card. If you are here in person, the Connect card can be found at your seat, and you can submit it at the info booth or in the collection boxes. If you're online this morning, the online host will send a link in the comment section, which you can fill out and then submit.
To welcome each other and to get to know one another, we have a fellowship time coming up. This is a great opportunity to meet someone new. Parents, you can bring your 3 to 5-year-old children to Little Lights through the door on my left. And children's grade 1 through 5, we will be having Kids Zone today. So you can meet us and your leaders downstairs through that door, and we will head outside for some fun and games. We are now going to start our 3-minute fellowship time, after which Pastor Nathan will be speaking on Worship at Play. If you need a fun conversation starter, maybe ask someone around you what their favorite board or card game is.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make his
Good morning. If you would take a seat, please. Welcome again to New Life. And we're going to miss our interns. They did a fantastic job this year. And yeah, it's really good. Too bad they're not here to hear the applause, but we'll tell them about it. They're outside playing with the kids, and I was thinking about this, thinking, man, you know, either we're going to think, man, I wish I could go outside and play, or we're going to think, what are they doing outside playing? That doesn't make sense. Like, they should be in church. So that's what we're going to talk about today is worship and play. We're in a series of messages called Holy Ground, and we're talking about worship, the different ways that God is worshiped, not just in terms of people gathering in church to worship on a Sunday morning, but what are all of the other ways that God is worshiped? So we talked last week about how angels worship and the impact that has on us, reminding us that there is that supernatural aspect to life in which angels are always extolling the majesty of God and how that draws us in also to sing God's praise. I felt a little bit about that this morning as we worshiped in song, thinking, man, there's a crowd of angels singing even louder than us, and probably more beautiful, although that's maybe hard to imagine. But and then we also talked about nature at worship and how not just people, but the things of nature, all creation worships God. And even Jesus says that, right? He says, man, if you're not going to praise me, then or praise God, then even the stones cry out to praise. And so we joined in with the stars and the whales singing God's praise. That was a glorious time. Not only does nature sing, though, nature also plays. Listen to this passage in Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy, be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Well, that's playing around. I mean, although maybe it's hard for you to imagine trees clapping hands, but nature really does play. You know, Janessa, she got pretty bored in Edmonton when she lived in Edmonton. Janessa's our worship pastor. You just saw her here. And so she used to live in Edmonton, and there's not much to do in Edmonton. So she had a pet crow. She had a pet crow, and she trained it to play. Take a look at this. That's pretty cool, huh? A mountain skiing crow. Who'd have thunk? That's just a crow found a bottle cap and discovered that, man, if he stood on that bottle cap, he'd slide down. The video's a lot longer, and I don't know how long it took Janessa to train that crow, but actually, I mean, she found the video. I don't know. Nature not only sings, but it also plays, which makes you wonder, what is the role of play in terms of our worship to God? They're not a common pair, admittedly, play and worship. We don't. Our expectations, on the one hand, on worship are very serious, right? Worship's that's important stuff, which maybe is why we fight so much about how to worship. But that's another issue. Our expectation for worship is so serious. Our expectations for play, on the other hand, are pretty frivolous. They don't amount to much. I mean, consider, what would you say is the opposite of play? Yeah, exactly, right? Doesn't have to be. Work can be fun. Why do we think that play and work are opposites? We think that work is worthwhile. Play is just for fun. It's just goofing off. We say play is for kids. Adults need to be concerned about work, accomplishing things. Well, from Ecclesiastes in the Bible, we'll see that this morning that play can also be worship. Listen to this from Ecclesiastes, the end of chapter 11 and the first verse of chapter 12. 11 verse 9, you who are young, be happy while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart. Cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Now, admittedly, that's kind of a complicated passage, and perhaps it's not immediately clear what the author's even talking about and even how it relates to worship and play. I mean, on the one hand, the author seems to suggest, well, take pleasure in youth. Why not? On the other hand, this is this funny phrase, watch out for God's judgment. Or the author saying, on the one hand, let youth give you joy, on the other hand, but youth and vigor are meaningless. Or on the one hand, enjoy your youth. On the other hand, don't worry about it. Old age is going to rob you anyways of it. So what's going on? All these contrasts, and it's hard to figure out what advice the author is giving us. It's almost as if Scripture itself is playing with us. One of my favorite texts in Scripture is also from this same area of the Bible. It's from Proverbs 26. Maybe you're familiar with it. Proverbs 26. So a lot of times we look at the Bible and we say, wow, the Bible's like a newspaper account of, you know, just reporting on the way things are. And so I just take it, read it, and that's what it is, the facts. Or sometimes we look at the Bible, we read it, and we expect it to be, as some people describe it, life's little instruction book. And we go, well, I just do what it says. This is why I like Proverbs 26. Here's what Proverbs 26, verse 4 says. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, or you're going to be like him. You think, oh, yeah, that's good advice. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. The next time I meet somebody who I judge to be a fool, I'm just not going to talk to them. Right? That's easy enough. The problem is when you keep reading. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he's going to be wise in his own eyes. Now what do? Do you answer a fool? Do you not answer the fool? It's like Scripture's playing with us. You see, it's not that God is playing with us, but perhaps he's inviting us to play with him. That is, not everything in life is so serious or so cut and dried that it only has to be one way. God invites us into the play of his creation to say, I don't know, you get to decide. Figure it out. Play around with it. Try to see what happens when you try this one or that one. And that's what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying. Play around in your youth. Enjoy it. Grab a hold of all the kinds of opportunities that are presented to you. God's inviting us to play with him. All of these contrasts in this passage of Ecclesiastes, then they invite us to play with God. But we also are interrupted in trying to understand this passage because we assume that the basis of life is work. That what makes life worthwhile is what we can do and what we can accomplish. It's quite the opposite, actually, for the writer in Ecclesiastes. Here's what Bob D'Amour suggests, that the writer calls us out to play hard in our youth. Seize the day. The problem is, of course, then as we read on in this passage, right? So author says, you who are young, be happy while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Then we run stuck because we read, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment, and we assume that's a bad thing. Like, don't play hard, but don't play too hard because God's going to get you. Well, that kind of ruins the whole message. So what if we understood God's judgment differently? What if we didn't assume that it was simply condemnation that God is all about? What if God's judgment only means that it matters to him, that he cares about it, that he's willing to make a judgment on it because he wants to determine that it is good, that it is worthwhile? From God's perspective, in other words, all of our activity whether it is work or whether it is play, doesn't amount to a whole lot other than that God judges it. And he judges it not simply to condemn it, but to embrace it, to say, yeah, I care about that. If our play falls under the judgment of God, that means it becomes meaningful. Or as Robert D'Amour puts it in his book, God's Backyard, it matters to God what we do. Nobody else may care that we finally managed to ride that two-wheeler. But God does. Because it falls under his judgment. He cares. If you don't judge anything, then it just means you don't care about it. If you never decide, you know, what do you want? It doesn't matter. Well, that means you don't care. What do you think about this? I don't know. Well, it means you don't care. If God places a judgment on something, it doesn't just mean that he condemns it. It also means that he cares about it. God cares about all of our activity, work or play. So playing in God's backyard, as Bob D'Amour puts it, is ultimately the meaningful thing in life. Perhaps we've never learned to play. Perhaps work is the only purpose that we've learned in our life. And then in the end, we find out that whatever we've accomplished, well, it doesn't amount to a whole lot. Or perhaps we've never learned to play, but we were smart. We acquired a lot of knowledge, and in the end, we're no better than anybody else. Or perhaps we've never learned to play, and now we absorb ourselves in every kind of pleasure, and in the end, we're still unsatisfied. That's the message of the entire book of Ecclesiastes, in fact. The writer, at least in the beginning, lays out, he says, look, I tried great pleasures just to satisfy myself. It was meaningless. I tried work. I toiled. I accomplished great things. And in the end, it was meaningless. I tried great wisdom, great knowledge. I thought I could be the smartest person in the world. Ends up meaningless. The point being that unless you recognize that God cares about our activity and that we simply take delight in joining God in his play, in his delight, then life is meaningless. In other words, it's not that play is the only good and meaningful thing on earth, but the worship of God is. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Not that you can't remember your Creator when you're old, but when you're young is when you learn to play. And playing can teach us about God. When you play, you can discover the God that you need to worship. You believe that? Look, I'll show you. Here's some things that we can say about play that help us to worship God. In the first place, play reflects the very image of God, the very thing that God made us into his image. Play reflects that. Why? Well, because God created us, and he created the whole entire world for no reason. Because it delighted him to create. In other words, God was playing. And he said, hey, what would it be like if I created a universe? And imagine this, what would it be like if I created people in my own image? Ah, that'd be fun. And so that's what he did. When we play, we reflect God's very image. Just like these two kids playing. look at, so he, so I spent an afternoon and, or a morning, a couple hours at Superhero Park Day. Look, I just love this. I love this video. Here's this kid standing in front of Connect Four or whatever this thing is called. And, right, so the idea is to get all these things in a row, you know, all the blue ones in a row, all the red ones. They're just standing there. They're playing. It serves no particular purpose. In fact, they're not even playing the purpose of the game, but they're playing just because. Reflects God's, something of God's image. Not only that, but play also, in the second place, reflects the fullness of life. Jesus said, look, I've come so that you might have life. And then he added, and that you might have it abundantly. Play reflects that. I mean, think back to when you were a kid. When you played, you could be whatever you wanted. I remember thinking one day I could be a fireman. The next day, I was a teacher. The next day, I was a farmer. It, like, every day, you could play around with whatever, reflecting the fullness of life. You could be an astronaut. You could be on the moon, wherever your imagination took you. The fullness of life. Play teaches us something about why Jesus came to earth to give us life and to give it to the fullest. Here's another thing that it teaches us. Play releases the tension in life, reminds us that in fact, everything that we are, everything that we accumulate, everything that we have, everything that we do ultimately belongs to God. We're playing in his backyard. God's looking down saying, ah, they're having a good time. That's awesome. Oh, look at what they're doing. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant for that. Yeah. Play does that. It reminds us, ah, it all belongs to. Take a look at this video. There is something about bubbles that just help to release the tension of life. I mean, what is it about a bubble? It does absolutely nothing. It just floats and then disappears. You try to catch it, it pops, it's gone. And then you do it over and over and over again. Something of the nature of life, playing in God's back, it all belongs to God. And then we gather it up, and then we throw it away, and then we gather up more stuff, and then we accomplish things, and then it becomes obsolete, and then, right, like bubbles. Play teaches us, where does playing in God's backyard, no matter how serious that play might be? Play enacts the joy of the time when God renews everything. Play teaches us that God is going to renew this world in a way that he intended, to make all things new and whole again, to eliminate and do away with all of the drudgery and all of the disease and all of the decay so that it no longer interrupts our and disrupts our lives. Like play. Play gives you that sense of renewal. Well, at least most of the time. This is why I hate games, because when I lose, there's no sense of renewal. But maybe this is what Jesus is getting at. When the religious leaders in the Gospel of Matthew, there's this episode where Jesus is confronted by religious leaders. They say, hey, we want a sign. We want you to prove to us that you're the Son of God. You know what Jesus says? Matthew chapter 11. Sorry, I don't have this on a slide, but Matthew chapter 11, this is what Jesus says. At that time, Jesus said, listen, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. How does he reveal God to little children? But by play. Play and learning to play becomes essential to learning to worship God. The best time to do that, says Ecclesiastes, is in your youth, when you're young. Not that you can't learn when you're old either, but it's the best time. When we think of discipleship and faith formation, then here in church, here as a gathered community, when we think about that, a lot of times, well, quite frankly, we think of Bible studies, sitting in a class, learning. But in our ministries, play is a significant aspect of forming faith. Whether it's Kids' Zone, what they're doing outside right now, whether it's Superhero Park Days, whether it's Gems and Cadets going to a corn maze, running around in the muck. Like, what good would that do? Whether it's young adults playing frisbee golf, which I've never tried. They're trying to get me to do that. See, play looks forward in a very real way to God's kingdom. That's the blessing of play, when all things will be made new. Play teaches us to worship that God who redeems all of creation. Now, admittedly, worship at play is a gift, no doubt. I mean, right? Not everyone might have that opportunity to play. Some people, and children, indeed, in the world, are just struggling to survive. Some people and children aren't aware of God at all in a way that would lead them to worship. And so as we think about entering into another ministry season, and these days my mind is entirely focused on that. This coming Tuesday, we've got a staff retreat just here in town. We take a day away. We're going to get into this. What are we trying to do this fall season, this ministry year? We want people's lives changed so that they can worship God. And so play becomes yet another resource in ministry, an opportunity to worship at play. Becomes a way for us to form faith in people. It's a gift, an essential that we see it as a gift. Because in an affluent life and culture such as ours, it's easy to make play the very thing we worship. It's easy to sit back and go, I can take time. My life's just going to be all about whatever I can enjoy. And then we worship play rather than worship God at play. And that too is meaningless, says Ecclesiastes. So, may all our play be worship to God. May it reflect the glory and the joy of God's kingdom, and may it teach us to remember our Creator, the one to whom we belong, our Father and our Savior, the one who redeems us and makes all things new. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you that we can send our kids out to play. And that in the backyard there, that they have a safe place to play, and that they can explore all the things of your creation, playing games and playing with each other and enjoying the goodness of the things around them. God, thank you that you've given us this wonderful gift by which we can worship you, by which we can look forward to that day when you make all things new, fresh, whole again. Thank you, God, that you redeem this world, so that even as we live this world in the midst of trouble and confusion and violence and war, that even so, God, we know that you have this world in your hands. We know that you are the king. We sang about it, God. We're confident that you rule over this world. And so we pray, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God, even today, as we go from this place, perhaps to go out and play, or whatever we do, may we exalt your name and give you all the praise because you are worthy. God, transform all that is broken in our lives. Renew it, we pray. And bless us with joy because you are the King of everything. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.
Now I'm trading my shame. Now.
bless you with joy. May the Lord bless you with his peace. May the Lord bless you with his presence as you go from this place. Go ahead, enjoy today, and go and play.